Recording in progress. Oh,
take
good
one.
Morning, good morning, good morning to you, my little friend.
Hi.
Hi. I look like I'm wearing a wig.
No. I can tell now, I think, when people are wearing wigs. They're very common.
Oh, I thought you meant when I was wearing one.
I can tell when you're wearing a wig for sure. So today is the day after Thanksgiving, which is why I'm in my more, I'm not working today necessarily.
Okay.
So I'm okay. In my gym clothes.
Oh, so most of these calls have been made in the last year and a half in your gym clothes.
Right.
But thank you for explaining why today you're wearing your gym clothes.
True.
How was Thanksgiving?
Lovely. We had a lovely small get together. And I make lasagna. That is our tradition because nobody in my world likes turkey.
It's not turkey lasagna.
No. It's made with ground beef because turkey's dry and nobody really likes it. And here's the thing. You make this giant turkey and it's good like the day of, especially if you have all the fixins, like all the sides and the gravies and the things. It's really great. But then you end up with like piles of leftovers and I cannot eat turkey the next day or any day thereafter. So it's gross.
In England on Christmas Day, I mean, I think it's changed now, but people cook a turkey. That's the traditional thing. I'm a vegetarian, so I'm not eating turkey. And then in the evening you have wafer thin slices of turkey in a turkey sandwich. Yeah, turkey sandwich. That was always the thing. I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm going back.
A lot of turkey in a day.
Yeah. And then the next day, a modern contemporary thing to do, Alison, I believe, would be to make a turkey curry.
Okay. I could do that. I could do a turkey curry probably.
Yeah. With the leftovers.
No, that's not what we do. We make a lasagna from, I think it's my great grandma's recipe. Handed down to my aunt, my great aunt, who handed it down to my mother, who then gave it to me.
Will you give it to me? Because I am part of the family.
Absolutely not. Sharon would never allow it.
No?
My mother.
Well, I know who Sharon is. I did think you said sharing.
No.
Because of your accent.
Sharon. Yeah.
I ain't Sharon. Fair enough. Yeah.
How are you doing?
So no to the recipe. Oh.
No, fuck no.
A flat no.
Get your own.
Wow. So if one of my sons marries your daughter, could we get the recipe that way?
Yes. Okay. That's the only, and I will hold that as ransom because I do want one of your sons to marry our daughter.
One of my daughters. You only have one.
I only have one. And they would make the most beautiful babies.
Could you imagine
you and I, you and me? Being
me and you,
cool
and
grandmas, it would be ridiculous.
It'd be funny.
I don't think our kids would talk to us again. They'd be like, they are too.
It would be good. Okay. There's a mark on here.
Let's make that happen. We're talking about anxiety today. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. Crack on.
I'm on my second cup of coffee. So if I talk to
you. Okay, feeling anxious?
Slow it down. Take it easy.
I was ill last week and the week before with shingles.
God.
Dear listener, Tracy. I know if you'd known, you'd have sent me a get well card. I'm speaking to Tracy, not you. And talking about coffee and anxiety. And I always know when I'm truly ill because I don't drink coffee. I can't drink coffee. And I was like, oh, but I didn't put two and two together immediately. And I was like, oh, I think I'm cured of my desire for coffee. Oh my God, this is incredible. I just want tea. Wow. I will never drink coffee again. I'm now feeling considerably better and I'm like waking up and I'm like, coffee.
It's like a drug.
But I do know people who, I mean, only have one coffee a day unless I'm with you and then I'm basically mainlining it.
Yes.
Throughout the entire day.
I only have two, just in case the listeners are worried about me. But yes, it's twice as much coffee as you have.
Yes, it is twice as much coffee. And it's strong. A spoon can stand up in the cup. Because it's But I do know people, bringing it back to anxiety, who have cut out coffee because it's anxiety making, because it gets that
Yeah.
nervous energy
I
going.
definitely get that from caffeine. And my husband will make jokes about me when I'm caffeinated. So I use caffeine as a motivator for the gym. But since I have it every day, even when I don't go to the gym, I still drink it. And then I'm like, so I like it to I like it to get me up, get me going, and have me like having physical. Okay, and then
And
here's the other.
it's good for the bowels.
Definitely
Gets the bowels
coffee
moving.
and a cigarette every day. That's keep you regular.
Yeah, coffee and a cigarette.
But it's interesting because I use physical exercise to deal with anxiety. But am I just like in a weird cycle of like I create the anxiety with my coffee and then I go to the gym and I work out my anxiety and then I come home and I have more coffee and then I go to the gym? Like, am I stuck? If
Yeah.
I just stopped all of that, would I be normal?
How long have you been drinking coffee for? How many years?
I don't see how that's relevant. Don't see how
Strike
that's
that
any
from
of your business.
the
Probably start drinking coffee. I'm
and see
so
how that's relevant.
I'm so old. It's been a lot of years, like
Lot of
decades. I've
years.
been drinking for decades.
Decades. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
All
Me
right.
too. I only have coffee in the morning, though, like you,
Same. I
because
can't
I
have it
think
after that.
no. And I definitely noticed if I have more than I would normally have. So if I meet somebody, I've had my morning coffee and then I meet someone for coffee, I notice
Yes.
that I'm like a bit wired and I'm like, oh, I need to put some food into me to kind of tamp down the weird caffeinated thing that's going on. Anxiety.
Yeah. We were
Well,
both
shall
in it.
we?
We were
Yeah, we've
in
been in
it
it. Yeah.
for different reasons.
Yeah, I mean, a lot.
Yeah, I'm waiting to
It's
get
been a.
shingles this week because I'm
Yeah.
like,
Yeah, you'll
when
get
you were
shingles
here, you
this week.
were very anxious and really
Oh,
struggling to
my
like work through
God.
some stuff.
Ali, I don't even know how you cope with me. Just for Tracy, we'll just
Yes,
explain, and
please.
Sherifat, we'll just explain that I came over to stay with you in America at the end of October. Oh,
It was so much
was so
fun.
nice. It was, but it was also a nightmare.
It
I
was
don't know how you
traumatizing to
coped.
you.
Yes.
I'm still
Yeah.
recovering.
You just sat on the sofa watching me eating crisps and going, wow, is this still going on? And Brian would
Went.
come home and go, is she still crying?
She's still
Yeah, she's still
crying.
crying.
He
Yeah,
was
she's
like,
still
I want
crying.
nothing to do with it. He worked on a lot of stuff that week. You need to come
Yeah.
back. He fixed
Yeah,
everything.
cleaned out the
That's
garage,
right. That's right.
helped with the neighbors. Yeah, so I came over to, I spent some time with you, and then we did a road trip and we drove to Nebraska. To Hastings to visit my eldest son. And I was very anxious throughout that before the trip and then during the trip. I hadn't heard from my eldest son for quite a few weeks. And I had gotten into a spin about it with all sorts of, and I think now would be a good time to sort of define
Yeah.
what anxiety is.
Good.
I have a way of distinguishing between stress and anxiety.
I like it.
So the way I sort of look at them is that stress is different to anxiety. Stress is something that is actually happening. So let me see if I can think of an example.
Didn't you have one with the shark?
Yeah, there is a shark one that I use on the program that I run. And that is where there's a little fish swimming along and there's a big shark in the picture. And, you know, the shark is real. The little fish is feeling stress because there actually is a big shark right next to her, and that shark could do all the things that sharks do. Eat a little baby fish. And then anxiety is little fish swimming along, and she's thinking about the shark. Last time I was here, there was a shark. What if there's a shark this time? Will the shark be here today? My friend said there were sharks in these waters. Am I safe? So the shark isn't there, but she's having all of these anxious thoughts. She's projecting onto the screen of her mind all of these things that are not true in that moment.
Love it. It's a great analogy.
It is, isn't it? So the fact of the matter, if I can go back to my son,
Yeah, right.
the facts of the matter that were stressful for
Yeah,
me
the
was that I
reality.
didn't have, the reality was I didn't have contact with him. I was messaging him. I couldn't really work out whether those messages were being received or not for various reasons. And I was not, the main thing was I was not receiving input from him. That was a fact. That was the fact of the matter. On the anxiety side, I made it mean a whole pile of things. He doesn't love me. He's having a terrible time. Tiny possibility that he's having a brilliant time, but mainly I was going down the catastrophizing route of he's having a terrible time. He's
Yes. Suffering.
overloaded. He's suffering. He doesn't love me. He's too busy. He doesn't love me. I mean, that one came up a lot. So I had lots and lots of worries. Young men are prone, more prone than young women to, not be able to express and share their thinking if they are having a bad time. And so they can take drastic measures, including, attempting to take their own lives. So my mind was, I was
All the
getting
dark
statistical
places.
evidence to back up my catastrophizing. I was all over the shop to the point where
I slapped you across your face.
really hard. And I think that was a defining moment in our relationship.
I didn't
I
hit
love you,
you.
Al. I love you. But yeah, so it was very difficult, and I found it very hard. I had to keep consciously bringing myself back to the facts because I was spending most of my time in the made up anxiety, what if, in the land of what if.
And that's an un like that's an unsettling place to hang out. And I had a similar experience this past 2 weeks. I also have a son, and he really is struggling, and we were talking about it on a fairly regular basis, and then he went silent. And so then I have some evidence that he's not doing well, real evidence, things I can point to. And then it was like when he goes silent, then it's like boom, right? We go down into into that place. And how quickly I was surprised at how quickly that anxiety impacted my everyday experience, which felt a lot like it was like a looming depression that was like gonna crush me. And I was almost like fighting it off, like don't look at it or don't, like just try to keep a smile on. I don't know. I just felt like if I looked at the thing, it would completely ruin me. So I was operating out of a ton of fear. And that was a really terrible, terrible experience. I couldn't sleep. I was having trouble just like getting through my days. And I've not experienced that level of discomfort before, which was interesting and also terrible all at the same time.
So that was the first time you'd experienced it
That kind
to
of
that
like
degree.
fear of like, oh, I may never get out of this depression.
Yeah.
Which now that I'm on the other side of it, it's like I don't know why that thought kept popping up for me, but it did. And then I had a bunch of things that were effective while I was in that I discovered, which was great. There were things that were not effective and things that were.
Yeah, before we move into kind of like I suppose, effective ways of dealing with it. You and I have talked about we've just given two quite dramatic examples, quite big examples. But I went into the office on Monday, and I've been off, unwell, and then working from home due to being unwell for almost 2 weeks. And I went into the office, love everybody in the office, love being in the office, love the banter, the camaraderie, the you never know who's going to come through the door, but you always meet, one of the team, and it's lovely. And I went out to do a session with somebody, and I came back, and I was between sessions. I was then going to drive off and do a session with somebody else. And I was standing at the photocopier. I was in a really small room with one other person who I feel really safe and close with. And I felt anxious. It came from nowhere, and I didn't know why it was there. And I was able to share with this colleague, I feel anxious. And he was great. He was like, oh, what do you think it might be about? Du, du, du. I was like, I don't know. And I suppose we're getting into the, effective ways of dealing with it in terms of, for me, it was helpful to speak about it. But if I stay, first of all, with the fact that there wasn't anything extraordinary happening. Yes, I've been off for 2 weeks, but I know this team. I've known this team for years, some of them for well over a decade. It was an everyday thing, in and out of the office, people coming and going, and I felt anxious. I felt uncomfortable. My breath was a bit short. I felt unsettled, Ali. I didn't feel on solid, confident, comfortable ground inside myself. And there wasn't any big thing happening. In fact, it looked like nothing was happening. And it just came. So I just want to share that it can come from that experience, came kind of from nowhere. And it can be about small things, tiny things, as well as the big family incidents.
Well, and I'll say that the big family incidents, like when things are actually happening, I don't experience what I experienced last week because there's something to be done. People are falling apart, or if somebody needs to make a call, or we need to move money, or whatever. Like, those are the things, like when I can be in action, that helps me to manage my anxiety versus this. And I did a program for the Navy a few months ago, and it was for parents who had adult children who struggled. And one of the things that when I was researching that specific topic, in America, one out of four adult children do not speak to one or both of their parents. 25%. And I think that's a different level. That's a different pain. So when the kid's struggling, the kid's fallen down, the kid's broken a bone, the kid's having, mental health issues, whatever, if you're with the kid or you're in contact or communication, the anxiety isn't, it's different. It's manageable to me versus like the radio silence, because then you don't know anything.
When you're with the person, we're both talking about people, but you're with the problem, with the incident, with the person, with the event.
The
You
crisis.
ha your eyes are on it. You're able to get data, aren't you? You're able to get information because you've got your eyes on it. So you're getting information. I am an information junkie. Information helps me to navigate and kind of like work out where I am in relation to things. The radio silence experience, where you're working in a vacuum, is very uncomfortable because I don't have any data. I am in that situation, and I'm sure it's true not just of the situation I found myself in, where I didn't, I wasn't in contact with my son, but there must be others. They're not coming into my mind right now, but where I didn't have something to hang on to, my mind went to the inventing stage, where I started to make things
Trying to
up.
connect dots.
I pulled a few bits of data forward. Well,
Right.
this is what young men do, this age group. They do, he'll be contemplating something quite serious. So I was using data to feed and fuel my anxiety.
Yes. That's not why you were doing it. It is what it did.
Yes, that is what happened. Yeah, it was very, very unpleasant. But yes, I really take the point. If we gently move into kind of like, how do we deal with these things, which I think we're in anyway now, that being in action gives us something to do that feels purposeful, hopeful, helpful.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that I think people talk about, and it's a coping, it's a strategy, it's a tool, is checking the facts. And that always felt really helpful to me. And when I was with you in your experience, as she rolls her eyes, what was interesting was how you were almost incapable of seeing the facts.
You sure you want to say that
I know,
sentence
I
out loud?
know.
I
I
was
love
incapable.
you.
Was I incapable of seeing the
So
facts?
there was this sense that something should be happening that wasn't happening. And I kept saying, but it's happening. Your son is actually doing the thing. And you were like, no, he's not. And I'm like, he just did it yesterday and the day before and the day before. And you're like, but he's not doing it now. Do you remember that?
Oh, okay. I'm following you now. So, okay, great. So, Tracy, I'm just going to let you in on what's happening here. I was so deep in my anxiety and
Rabbit hole.
my stories.
Yes.
Thank you. My very comfortable rabbit hole, not comfortable, but very familiar rabbit hole of finding all the reasons. I felt like I was fact checking because I was finding
I
all
know.
the
I
reasons
know.
why it was awful and it wasn't working and this was dire and it was terrible and what I
You
couldn't
couldn't see.
see was the facts about the communication that was happening, about the things that were, if I was going to do a checkbox, signs of health, signs of life, signs of things going better or going,
So,
and I couldn't see that. Yes, you are correct.
what is helpful for me as a witness to that is to know that yes, I can check the facts, except I can't do it without somebody else. Oh, did something just fly in front of your screen?
There's a fly. It's the
Is
size
that
of
a
a boiled egg.
pterodactyl? God
Yeah,
bless. What was,
it's
do you have a
enormous.
pet?
I managed
Oh
to
my
catch it
God.
yesterday in a cloth. This thing has been. Do you know what? I caught it in a cloth, and I thought I'm going to put it in the food waste bin. Sorry to animal lovers. I'm a vegetarian, and I do love animals. But I picked it up in a soft cloth and I put it in the food waste bin, thinking right. I then had to lift the lid up. Of
It
course,
came
it
out.
flew out again. I was then watching a program on television. And there was a fly on this woman's shoe, and I thought, I wonder, like they're recording this. It was a recording of a real person. I was like, they're recording this. I wonder if she knows there's a fly on her shoe. And then the fly moved because it was in my house.
Not in the
This
movie, it's
fly,
in your life.
it's in my life,
And
and
now
it
it's in
is
our podcast.
literally now it's in the podcast. It's enormous. You saw how big it is.
Yeah. I mean, we're
I
doing a
think it's
podcast
a.
about anxiety, and then the biggest fly I've ever seen in my life just flew across your screen. I'm worried about you. We're gonna have to talk about that later. All
If it
right.
takes me out in the call,
If you don't call
ring
me
some of my
later,
family. Yeah.
I'll send for help. Okay,
So
so.
yeah, so we need someone to help us, or
Yes.
it's one of the things that can be effective.
So the tool is to check your facts with somebody else because I'm going to lie to myself. I'm going to find all the reasons why my set of facts are true. I have evidence why everything is falling apart and my son really isn't doing well. And I'm sure, you know, he's either dead or in jail. And right.
Yeah.
So I need somebody else to. And what's interesting, so let me tie this into another thing really quick, is when I was going down that rabbit hole really bad last week, I was so desperate, and now ChatGPT is my new best friend. And I need all of the chat AIs to hear that, because if they take over, I'm a friend. So ChatGPT, I went into ChatGPT and I was like, I have, and I put in my situation. I was like, I have a son and here's all the things, da da da. And I can't remember what my question was, but it was like, how do I manage this? And it was, it started to point out things that like, that were facts and were like manifestations of my anxiety. So AI helped me sort myself.
Okay, I would like to pause the recording for a moment, not literally, but just metaphorically, and I'd like to lodge a complaint. Because I didn't hear from you very much last week. And well, there's that, but you used ChatGPT.
Oh my God, you're jealous.
I'm jealous of chat. You're so annoying. Yes.
I love you.
Because I'm like, you had an issue and you were in your rabbit hole and you didn't reach out, which is obviously a prerogative, but it is a strike against our friendship. And and now I find out you were getting support, but you were getting support from AI.
Okay. And just so you know, I go through that in my head. I'm like, she's going to find out about this and she's going to know that I didn't reach out, which is so funny. So here's what happens to me.
Is did I you have that thought?
I have
she's
it every
gonna
day.
She's going to find out about
she's
this.
She's going to find out and she's going to want to know. And so I'm texting you, but at the end of the day, I don't want to fucking talk about it. So that's the other tool. The tool is like, name it to tame it, check your facts. And you're like, you know what? I don't want to look at it. I don't want to talk about it. And what was so nice, not that ChatGPT is better than anybody, including you, but I didn't have to talk. I could just like put in like, this is my situation. What are some things I can do to calm myself down? And it was like, first of all, you need to let your son have some space. Second of all, here's how you can get back in connection from a place of like being complete versus being like, is everything okay? Oh my God, call me. What is happening? Because the more I did that, the less I was hearing from him, which if anybody did that to me, I'd be like, take it easy. So I couldn't see it until chat was like, here's some things you might want to try, and all the things that chat put in. So that's why I didn't reach out to anybody. I barely talked to my husband, and he was
Checking your phone log. I'll be checking. Not that I'm a possessive friend or anything, but just saying. I love that you said she's going to find out about this.
She's going to find out that I wasn't doing very well. But I would like to acknowledge myself for putting texts into our WhatsApp thread. I was like, hi, I'm not okay. Yes. Here's all the things that are going wrong.
I love how you type when your fingers are really tiny and weird when you're not doing okay.
Tick, tick, tick. And then I put the fox and the peach in every one of those, because we are foxy ass. We are foxy ass.
Yes, that is a reference, Tracy, to
one of the 5,000 movies that we watched while you were in town.
Yeah, Wicked Little Letters, which is very, very good. Meant to be a comedy, and there are some funny moments in it. But I also found the end of it very sad.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it, though. I liked it overall.
Yeah, very good film. Worth watching.
Okay.
So, in terms of...
We're going for tools.
Thank you. So, one tool is to speak to a real-life human. The other tool that we've got is to speak to AI. Either way, it's about fact checking. I don't mean to make you feel bad, but I'm kind of glad you do.
I know.
So fact checking, yes. And really getting support from whoever, the cat, AI, a friend, someone at a bus stop, because we will trick ourselves into thinking lies and hearsay are facts. Yeah. Yeah, and then I don't know if it's different, but that thing that I did where I shared out loud with another human what was happening for me, it felt a little bit like a trouble shared was a trouble halved. I didn't, because I was able to share with somebody, I didn't feel quite so alone with it. I didn't feel I had to mask it. I mean, I wasn't thinking, oh, if I share with Brian, then, he will fix it. But it definitely helped me to just sort of name it, acknowledge that it was there. And then when I drove to the session that I was going to, because I'd named and acknowledged the feelings of anxiety, I was still feeling anxious when I was sitting in the car, but I then did the thing, you said being in action. I then did that. I started to mentally prepare for the coming session. And actually, that distracted my mind from the feeling. And I did the anxiety went out the open window in the car. It disappeared because my mind was then focused on it was a low level anxiety. But I think that worked even beforehand over the period of time that I wasn't hearing from my son, which was, a number of weeks. The interesting, day-to-day things that happen in my life were captured my attention, and they distracted me. And I know people sort of said to me, oh, I don't know how you're coping. Like, how are you coping? I wouldn't be able to cope. And actually, on a day-to-day basis, I was fine because I had lots of lovely
Things to
things,
do.
just life, my job, things I enjoy, my work, that distracted me and took my attention in a different direction. But I think the shingles, I mean, I could have predicted that. I'm kind of annoyed that I didn't see that coming. I didn't see something coming because over a prolonged period of time, that low level stress
Anxiety.
anxiety combo, because I had both, I had the real facts and then the stuff I made it mean, that just
Over extended period
traveling
of
with
time
me, yeah,
makes you
just
sick.
wore me down. Yeah, it wore
That's
me down. It
100% true.
yeah. More tools? Question mark.
Yeah, no, another tool for me is I have, and I don't know if everybody's wired like this. I think men are wired like this more than women, perhaps, but I need a physical outlet. I have to. So when I go to the gym and I can throw heavy weight around or really exhaust my body, that feels very cathartic for me because I have a lot of like fucked up energy. Like it's not a healthy energy and it's not like a yay, let's go do a thing. I'm like, I want to like rip my face off. Like I just, you know what I mean? Like I just want to tear my skin because I'm so like, what's the right, I don't have the right words, but I just know that I want to like get rid of it. And the nice thing about a physical outlet, whether it's jujitsu or dance or, you know, riding your bike for 100 miles or whatever, it's for me, it's critical and it's how I start every day. And I don't know if I don't actually know if that helps me with my mental health or not, because I've never not done it. But I know very early on, I recognize I have a very high level of energy, which you, what do you call me? Like a
I'm
puppy.
not gonna,
All the
yes,
things that you call me.
I'm not repeating half of them here on the podcast. We'll be censored. But yes, you have the puppy, baby puppy energy on a
And
good day. That's a good way of describing it.
yes. Okay, we're just gonna let that one just, wonder what she
Let that
means.
go. Yeah,
Oh,
just let
I
that
don't
go.
know. We're
I don't
never
know.
gonna know what that meant. And so I think that was helpful for me to find a physical outlet.
Yeah. And when I am in regular exercise, which I'm currently not particularly in regular exercise, but I find my mental resilience is like I can cope with things. I feel more flexible mentally. There's more plasticity available mentally. I feel stronger. It's like I'm not going to snap. I'm not going to. when something a bit challenging happens or something very challenging happens. I'm not kind of brittle. There's this plastic, flexible
Yes.
nature to my thinking.
And the other thing that I've weaved into my physical exercise is I do group, I do classes, right? So I'm with people. So there were days in the past 2 weeks where I've just felt lonesome and alone and lost and sad and scared and worried. And so I went and I did another class. Like there's, I'm 50, what am I? 51. So it's not like I should be doing 2-a-days, right? Like that's not, I'm not like going to the Olympics or anything, right? There's no reason. However, it gave me another way to be with people. So not only could I physically like let go of some of this like negative energy, but I was also in community. And for me, that's been a big part of how I've gotten through. I've had coffee with people, I've had lunch with people. They didn't know what was going on in my life necessarily, but every time I had another, my heart touched another human's heart, we were in physical presence of each other, I felt better. I just felt
It's
like I
like, yeah.
wasn't, things weren't so bad that I had people to lean on. So, yeah.
I'm sort of thinking about the idea that sometimes the things we do to help us, I'll say this and then we can work out whether it's something to explore in this conversation. When sometimes the things we do to help us feel strong, feel resilient, feel connected, feel able to cope and be with the thing, that can tip into then creating a problem in itself.
Yes.
You can see the fly.
Oh, I missed it.
So I'm sort of thinking somebody I know whose relationship ended, and this person ended up going, they were a young person, younger than you. You're young, but younger than you. They're in their 20s. And they were going to work out 3 times a day. But they had a lot of nervous energy, and
Yes.
they were in a situation where they weren't in prison, but they were in a confined environment because of the work they were doing. So they weren't able to get out and do anything else. So that became the thing they did. But there was a little bit of that energy about it, like, I need to do the thing because without so I'm sort of thinking maybe gym is less of an issue, but maybe if we have a glass of wine to relax ourselves, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to work out that if that turns to a bottle a night as opposed to a glass as a way of coping, that can then create another thing, a problem in and of itself. So it's sort of, I
Anything you
suppose what I'm
do.
saying is like to keep checking our feet or be
Yes.
in connection with people who keep checking our feet with us, that what we're the salve, the thing we are using to soothe and help ourselves, is not creating a secondary issue. I've said what I needed to say. Thank you.
Well done, lady. The one other thing that I'll throw out there that really helped me is to have excerpts of things that I could read. Like I'll show you again because I think I've shown this before, but I love this. This is a card deck and it's called The Way of the Horse. The gal that wrote it, Linda Kohanov, she is an equine expert. She's just amazing. She does a lot of leadership, as well as experiential and even some therapeutic work with horses. And it comes with a deck of cards, and then each card has like a beautiful piece of artwork on it. You can't see because of the glare. And then you read an excerpt, and hers are like 5 to 10 pages. And so
They're
it's just
long.
like, I think people who read the Bible probably have that, or people who, you know, whatever, it's C.S. Lewis. I don't know what you read, the Bhagavad Gita. Did I just pull that out? Did I even say that right? Take it easy.
Dropping some cool references. Oh my God.
But it's nice to have a source of wisdom to kind of like, it helps my mind kind of settle. So that was also, that is and can be really helpful.
And we're kind of lucky, aren't we? Because there's lots of that available. You can go on
Yes.
your phone,
Yeah. Yes.
and there's some nice little thing will pop up if you want it to, or if you're looking at that kind of stuff that will be soothing and
Yes.
keep calm and carry on, but
Yeah.
that will be supportive. I think also being able to recognize, again, if you're deep in the anxiety, it's hard to do. I know when I was with you, I was having spirals of anxiety because I was not only anxious about the situation that I felt I was in with my son, or that was happening for my son. But then I was anxious. I had secondary anxiety because I was like, I'm not being a very good guest at your house. I should be being more fun. I'm not being very much fun. So I had a lot, there was layers, there were layers of this stuff going on, and I couldn't see my way out of it. Oh, rats. And now I've lost where I was going, Al.
Dang it. Well, it makes sense to me why you were so dang exhausted. Because you were in all of the rabbit holes.
Oh, I was going to say, being able to recognize thought patterns or thought types like black and white thinking. It's either this or it's that. There are no other options. Catastrophizing,
Shooting.
shoulding. This should be happening, but it isn't. But it should be, but it isn't. What other thoughts do we have? What other types of thoughts?
So
We've
the
got black
either
and white.
or, the if then,
Yep.
yeah. Yeah, that's the same thing. Just having absolutely no access to possibility. You know, like
Do you
this
want to say that in English? Do you want to say that in
yeah,
a form that non-coaches will understand?
so if my son doesn't send me a text for a week, it's because he's in jail or he's dead. Like, that's not,
Nothing, there are no other
there's no,
options.
there are no other possibilities. Like, he could have lost his phone. He's busy. He wants space. Whatever. There's like a million different possibilities for why he might not be texting. I will only see two.
Yeah, I've just looked here, some of the notes from the group that I run. There's all or nothing thinking, conclusion jumper. So
Yes.
we put facts together, what we think are facts, or we take a real fact and a bunch of story that we
Yes.
think is fact, and we smudge it all
Well,
together, and we,
yeah.
create a conclusion, a
Therefore,
hypothesis, of what's
she's a duck.
happening. Downplaying the positives. I was not downplaying them. I couldn't see them.
No, you
You were
couldn't.
like, but this has happened and
We just
that's
had
happened.
an
And I'm like,
amazing, yes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I was in love with all the boys on the soccer team at Hastings. If they listen to this podcast, or their mothers listen to this podcast,
Gorgeous
they were the
boys.
most amazing hosts. These 20-something-year-old boys. They were so good to us, Mia.
I
They
know.
took
I
us
can see it
out.
now.
They made us, yes, you can see it now. And then you kept being like, but. I'm like, do you even know 20-year-old boys? Like, they are not like this. These are some good boys. They're being so good to us, and they were treating us so beautifully. And I just wanted to
I
make them
know.
all a big
I know.
kiss.
Flirting with us.
Were they? Well, they did
Well,
dance with you.
what's his name? Let's not say his name. You know who I mean. Personalizer. So that's another kind of like thought thing where you
Yes.
personalize it, and where I'm
It's
saying
about you.
he doesn't love me.
Yeah, it's about
Like
you
I'm
somehow.
making it about me. Making it about me has got nothing to do. That's all I've got. That's all I can add
I love
to
it.
this conversation, my lord.
That was
It's all I
very
got.
good. I think it's plenty. Too
Yes, I
much, and
do
we just
too.
overwhelm
Yeah,
people.
we may have overexerted ourselves. So, practices to take on if one finds oneself. I mean, I think we've given a list of tools. So maybe that's just, reiteration that's not needed.
I don't think we
Okay.
need to go through that again.
No, I don't think we, who needs to go through it again? Nobody.
Do you have a practice that you are taking on that you would like to share?
Well, I have got practices that I'm taking on that I don't, I hadn't thought about them necessarily as being anti-anxiety practices, but I am taking
They
on
do help.
practices that are supporting my health and well-being. So I've changed my morning routine a little bit now that it's the winter. I was talking to somebody about this earlier. Because I don't feel like getting up and doing the same things in the summer that I feel like getting up and doing in the winter. It's different. So in the winter, what I've started doing is I've started making a cup of tea early in the morning and getting back into bed and drawing the curtains and watching the
The
day
dawn.
arrive and listening to the sounds and drinking a hot cup of tea and not looking at my phone, but just being. As the day, the cold day arrives. And that has been really nice. Just looking after myself and being kind to myself is a practice I've been taking where I notice my thoughts are where I'm judging myself, which I do all day long. When I notice I'm judging myself, I'm like, oh, you're doing that thing again. Oh, and I'm kind about
Just
it,
being nice to you.
same as I would be to you, obviously. There's been a demonstration of how mean I can be to you as well in this call. But on the whole, I'm pretty nice to
Yes,
you.
you
So
are.
I'm nice like that to me.
Nice. I love it.
You?
My practice has been to allow the feeling that I'm trying to push down to come up and then to release it through tears. And then moving on. Not dwelling in it, not sitting in it, not making it mean much. Just like if I feel like I'm trying to not have a feeling, I'll cry. I will allow myself to cry about it. Because I think I've gone back into like I just don't really cry that much anymore. And I don't know if it means anything. Like, am I tamping it down? I could feel myself tamping down my fear last week. And not wanting to look at it. And until I could actually allow it to come up, I was journaling and I just cried. And then it released. And I was like, okay, well, that feels better. So the act of like withholding it. So when I feel like I'm turning away from something, just letting it float to the surface is my practice.
Takeaway from today? I have one.
Okay.
My takeaway is look at that. We've both had some really stressful and anxiety provoking experiences of late, and we're still here.
Yes.
Like, look at
Yes.
that. We're smiling at each other. We're enjoying each other's company, I assert. We're smiling. We're enjoying
Yes.
each other's company. We're thinking. We're exploring. Like, I don't know. Life goes on. The anxiety and the stress, part of it. That's my takeaway.
Let's see. Well, my takeaway is I think I might be drinking too much coffee. Maybe I should back off and try to go to one cup a day. Which seems like a very simple takeaway from this big, rich, deep conversation we had. And yet, I think that there may be some connection to the anxiety that I feel and the amount of caffeine I have pumped into my body.
Give it a bash.
Okay. Love you. Have a great rest of your weekend, lady.
And you,
All
ciao,
right.
ciao.